So, because I feel like talking today, and I don't feel like reading a script or improvising anything, I decided to do this 50 questions that can change your life. So, here we go. Question 1. How old would you be if you didn't know how old you are? I would be... probably 28, 29, 30. I feel like I grew up quickly. But at the same time, I feel younger than my age, so it's kind of complicated for me to answer. Can I just be ageless? Number 2, which is worse, failing or never trying? As someone who is extremely afraid of failure, this is a really difficult question for me to answer because at the same time, I'm afraid of staying stagnant, things not changing. So I think it's, even though it is scary as fuck to fail something, for me at least, not trying something is even worse because you don't know if you'll fail or if you'll succeed at whatever endeavor you choose to do. If I hadn't tried recording this, or hadn't tried this recording thing, I would have never realized that I enjoy it. I think if I hadn't tried it, I would be doing the same thing that I was 4 months ago. You know, and I didn't want to live my life that way. I wanted something to change, so... Number 3. If life is so short, why do we do so many... Why do we do so many things we don't like, and like so many things we don't do? I think it all falls to responsibility. At least for doing things we don't like. Because there are some things you need to do to live your life that isn't enjoyable or isn't what you would prefer to be doing. I mean, I know I wouldn't want to go to work on a Saturday, but I did because I had to do it to save money, to do things that I wanted to do. So, I think everything comes down to responsibility in that regard. But as for liking so many things we don't do, I don't really understand that because, I mean, there's always, grass is always greener on the other side, but, I saw something, the other day, I think it was... Yeah, it was on the advice board. It was Archer saying it. The grass is only as green as where you water it. And I think I'm a very firm believer in that now. You can find enjoyment in things you do, unless you really dislike it. I guess. It's hard for me to explain my thoughts on this, so it's going to be a bit of a ramble. If you nurture an enjoyment of something, I think it's easier to do, and if the grass is greener on the other side. You know, if you want to do that, then go there. But if you have something perfectly good on this side of the fence, then you need to control your efforts to water the grass on this side, if that makes sense. Maybe not. Number four, when it's all said and done, will you have said more than you've done? This is really difficult to answer too. Now, these questions are all really hard. They make me think. I am going to say no, because I am more of a action kind of person. In some ways. But if I can say something and have that be my action, my way of making my mark on the world, then I want to do that too. Number five. God, I really need to stop yawning. I'm sorry. Number five. What is the one thing you'd most like to change about the world? Intolerance. I think intolerance is the root of conflict, the cause of most everything bad in the world. War is a byproduct of intolerance. Abortion is a problem in this country because people are intolerant of other people's views on life or they are intolerant or refuse to understand that sometimes that is the only thing that keeps women afloat, that keeps children out of foster homes, and it's just intolerance is the worst thing in this world. It is, in my opinion at least. I mean, we see intolerance every day. We hear these opinions from people that we work with or we see or we live with, and we hear it on a daily basis, hearing these things like, oh, well, if they just believed in God, then they would blah 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 blah. Or if they were just an atheist, they would blah 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 blah. The intolerance is rampant in this world, and I think it's I think it's just sickening. And I know it's part of the human condition of sorts, because we can't help but to be stuck in our own opinions, our own minds, and it's not a human thing to understand that people come from all different backgrounds, come from different places in our lives, different experiences, and that makes up everything that we do, but it's all the same, if that makes sense. I hope it does. Number six, if happiness was the national currency, what kind of work would make you rich? There you go again. would make me most happy? Helping people makes me happy in any capacity. If I were to go back to my old job, I was fairly happy there. I would probably be really fucking rich if happiness were the national currency, but at the same time, I want to stay home and paint and be happy that way, but I don't think art is my happiness anymore. I don't know what for sure is what makes me happy. 7, are you doing what you believe in, or are you settling for what you're doing? This is confusing me. I had to read it a few times. Are you doing what you believe in, or are you settling for what you're doing? I would say I'm settling right now. Because I chose a career path that will give me the most comfortable lifestyle and would be easy enough for me to set aside when I leave work. I don't want to settle like that for the rest of my life, though. So if I could find something where I can make a difference in any capacity, I would jump at it. But I can't right now. So, if the average human lifespan was 40 years, how would you live your life differently? I'm sorry about these yawns, that's ridiculous. I would probably feel a lot more rushed. I would, I would probably have settled for my high school boyfriend who cheated on me and who is currently trying to cheat on his current fiance with me. But I would probably be more desperate to have kids, to see them grow up, and then I would probably feel like my life had been fulfilled, or like one of my goals had been fulfilled at least. But yeah. 9. To what degree have you actually controlled the course your life has taken? I'm a firm believer in you only get out of life what you put into it. So I would say everything, despite the fact that it hasn't gone the way I wanted it to. I know that that's because I didn't put the effort into it that I needed to. If I were to put the effort into it, it would be completely different fairly quickly. But I don't know that I have the ambition for that right now. 10. Are you more worried about doing things right or doing the right things? What about doing the right things right? But I would say I'm more worried about doing the right things. I have this fear of failure, And along with it comes a fear of making mistakes. I tend to become very discouraged when I make just one small mistake. So it's hard for me to determine which of these is true of me. I like doing things right. But for me, the meaning is the same thing. At the same time, I want to do what is right, not only for me, but for other people. It, again, the whole meaningful work is just really important to me. Number 11, you're having lunch with three people you respect and admire. They all start criticizing a close friend of yours, not knowing she is your friend. The criticism is distasteful and unjustified. What do you do? I would stand up for my friend. Because, especially if it is unjustified, if I know that there is a argument against what they're saying, I will make it. I especially dislike gossip, and I feel like it is tacky and just something terrible people do just to kill time. And if anything, I would put them in their place and try to move the topic onto something else. This has happened before, so. Number 12. If you could offer a newborn child only one piece of advice, what would it be? Do what makes you happy. And don't be afraid of the consequences. Don't be afraid of what people say to you about it, because you can always make things work out the way you need it to be, the way you want it to be. Don't be reserved in what you want your life to be. Number 13, would you break the law to save a loved one? Absolutely. Absolutely. Number 14. Have you ever seen insanity where you later saw creativity? Yeah. I run or ran with some pretty crazy characters, especially in my first years of college. And they were pretty crazy. And later on, I looked back, and I still look back, and I see some of the most wonderfully creative and bold people that I've ever met, and I miss them a lot. What's something you know you do differently than most people? I'm a bit of a recluse. I don't associate with people very often. I tend to stay to myself, except for my online presence. I like that, but seeing people in real life just kind of grinds on my nerves sometimes, so. Sorry, but it was the stuffy nose. Between the yawns and the stuffy nose, I'm a little miserable today. How come the things that make you happy don't make everyone happy? I could really get into the psychology of this. I love thinking about how our experiences create these neural connections, and they create these memories that in turn bring about these feelings, happy, sad, whatever you want to call it. And everyone has a different experience. Everyone has something in their life that makes them miserable, something that makes them happy, and no one person is the same. That's that. Number 17. What one thing have you not done that you really want to do, and what's holding you back? Right now, I'm on to write poetry. I've been on a spoken word binge, and I have done some poetry. I just haven't put it out there for anyone else to read. It's one of those things that I'm really scared of failure, really scared of criticism about, because it is so raw. It's me on paper. I actually wrote something last night that is something that's been on my mind lately with all the therapy that I've been going through and everything. I realize that there are some things in my life that have created me in sorts, or have created some of the problems that I have, at least. And what I really want to do right now is to just be open and to read some of my poetry and hear people's feedback, see what they say about it. God, this thing is driving me crazy next to me. And if I could do that, I don't know if it would be an incredible weight lifted off my shoulders to finally say some of these things that have been inside me for years, or if it would break me, because there are reasons why I put up these walls. So, Number 18. Are you holding on to something you need to let go of? Yes. Along those same lines, I realize that I have held on to a lot of feelings and stuff. Sorry, I don't mean to get all weepy and stuff, but, you know, hormones and shit. And a lot of feelings that I have held on to, a lot of anger, a lot of grudges, and I think that's something that I'm working on letting go of. It definitely contributes to my anxiety, and it's not good for me, so. 19. If you had to move to a state or country besides the one you currently live in, where would you move and why? I don't know. I think Oregon or Washington. Because I've never seen the ocean, any ocean. I don't like heat, and I don't like extreme cold. So if I can live near the coast, That would be great. If I were to move to a different country, probably Italy, because the culture and the art is just so fascinating to me. And it's probably the closest to a more comfortable lifestyle, I want to say. If I really wanted to get into the cultural aspect of something, I would probably move to India, because I think the cultures are fascinating, the history and the art, architecture, and the people are just amazing to me, I guess. Number 20, do you push the elevator button more than once? Yes. Do you really believe it makes elevator faster? No. I'm really impatient, so I tend to push it like 2 or 3 times. It's just a way to waste time for me, I guess. I don't know. Would you rather be a worried genius or a joyful simpleton? This is going to sound really dumb. I hold my intelligence like a comforting blanket. And I probably hold it a bit too close to me because it, it just kind of blankets everything. It probably contributes to my slight superiority complex, I want to say. I mean, I can't imagine myself wanting to be wanting to not know some of the things I know and make the connections that I make. I mean, I think if I had chosen the joyful aspect of this, it would be a complete change for me, and I just can't even imagine it. Why are you you? Well, I explained before how the experiences and everything control our views on things, control our personalities, and shape, I want to say, not control, and in addition to everything biological about us, from a from an experience standpoint, I don't know. I don't know what I want to say here. I guess I'm me because of the choices that I've made over the years. The decisions, regardless of how much I like them in the end, have made me who I am today. So, 23. My nose is really stuffy. Have you been the kind of friend you want as a friend? No. I don't make a very good friend, which is really sad to say. I'm a good listener. I give good advice, but when it comes to interpersonal connections, I kind of fail in that because I don't open up very often. This is probably the most open I've been, aside from with the psychologist. The most open I've been in years. Which sounds really sad, but it's true. Where was I? Which is 24, by the way. Which is worse, when a good friend moves away or losing touch with a good friend who lives right near you? Because I have experienced both, but the pain of losing touch with someone I considered a friend, was so difficult to deal with. I'll say losing touch with a good friend who lives near me. When I was 20, my best friend's mom committed suicide on her birthday. And, I mean, I partially hold myself responsible for that in itself, and that's a completely different story. Over the next year after that, we cleaned up the house, we cleared everything out, we moved her to a different place, we supported her, my best friend, we kept her somewhat emotionally stable, and it was difficult for me to lose her because she pulled herself away, from me, just me. And I can't help but think that she blames me too, or feels that I'm partly responsible too, even though she said that she wants to connect again, but I don't know. 25. What are you most grateful for? I would say my family. Especially my grandparents. They are wonderful, despite the fact that they drive me crazy. I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't have the life that I do today. I'd probably be on the streets selling crack or something if I didn't have them. And I am incredibly grateful for their support and their love. 26. Would you rather lose all of your old memories or never be able to make new ones? Oh, God. As someone who is stuck in the past, I would say I would prefer to never be able to make new ones. But at the same time, I hate the fact that things wouldn't change. So maybe I'd want to make new ones and lose all my old memories. I don't know. It's really hard for me to answer. I don't think I can even answer that, because it's just one of those things where it's like, God, I can't even imagine losing my memories and making new ones. That'd be fine, but I crave knowledge, so I need to make new memories. 27. Is it possible to know the truth without challenging it first? I don't think so. In my mind, I need evidence. I need some firm proof that something is true. And if I don't challenge it, I feel like it's just faith, and I don't put much weight in faith. 28. Has your greatest fear ever come true? No, not yet. But it will someday. 29. Do you remember that time 5 years ago when you were extremely upset? Does it really matter now? 5 years ago, I was having panic attacks 4 times a month. I was extremely upset several times. So, yeah, I remember just about every time. And it never really mattered because it wasn't really something that should have upset me as much as it did. So, 30. What is your happiest childhood memory? What makes it so special? I want to say snowmobiling with my grandpa. I used to love going out after fresh snow, going out on the snowmobile and sitting in front of him and just riding the snowmobile. It was so nice. It was beautiful. I live on a farm, my grandparents' farm, and when it snows, I hate snow, by the way, but when it snows, everything is covered in this beautiful white blanket. The fields are just coated in it, and it is gorgeous. It hides all the scars from the harvest from the year before, and it's just gorgeous to me, I guess. It's so pure, because it's untouched. And that was always my favorite thing about winter. So, just hanging out with my grandpa and seeing the beauty of a fresh snowfall. 31. At what time in your recent past have you felt most passionate and alive? My first semester of college. It was 4 years ago. And I... I was nervous. I was excited for the future. I felt like I could open up about certain aspects of me that I wasn't able to do here, and I'm still not able to. I have been stuck in the closet for years and years and years, but there, I was open about who I was, mostly, and even though I still kept to myself, I had this group of friends who actually included me in things, and it was wonderful. I miss it a lot, so. Number 32. If not now, then when? If I don't do something now, I probably won't do it ever, because that's just how my attention span goes. So, it would have to be now. 33. If you haven't achieved it yet, what do you have to lose? This is confusing to me. If you haven't achieved it yet, what do you have to lose? It would depend on the situation. if, okay, say I came out to my family, I would probably lose their support, their love in some respects, their their trust, I guess, even though I don't feel like it's deserved, or it's, I don't feel like it is a fair thing for them to do, but I know that's what I would lose. But at the same thing, I want to try different things, so I know that if it comes down to it, I will probably do it anyway. Number 34. Have you ever been with someone, said nothing, and walked away feeling like you just had the best conversation ever? Yes. I had a friend who was kind of like me. We don't say a whole lot when we're together, but we still came away feeling like we knew each other better than we did before. So, number 35, why do religions that support love cause so many wars? Again, intolerance. I'm telling you, it's the worst thing in the world. Number 36, is it possible to know without a doubt? Oh shit, where'd my thing go? Oh, without a doubt, what is good and what is evil? I think it is not. Because there are some things that you know are just very, very evil. Torture. Rape, you know, not play rape, actual rape, terrorism, but at the same time, these actions are something that someone probably doesn't feel the same about, because their experiences have led them to feel that these things are deserved, that they need to be done, that there is something in that evil aspect that is good in their minds. So... Oh, number 37. If you had just won $1 million, would you quit your job? Well, I quit my job already, so. if I just won $1 million, I would for sure quit this school, and I would definitely go back to my first college, because then I would have the money to pay for it. And I would learn all the things I wanted to learn. God, I want that so much. So, I probably would. 38. Would you rather have less work to do or more work you actually enjoy doing? More work I actually enjoy doing. I have nothing to do and I am bored as fuck. I need things to do. Otherwise, I feel lazy and I feel like life is boring. So, I'm looking forward to school starting so I can actually throw myself into it, and everything. And I also need to start on some of these workbooks that I got. That's some work that I am going to enjoy doing too. Number 39. Do you feel like you have lived this day 100 times before? No. Every day is different. Every day in my life feels nothing like the day I had before. I don't know if it's because I know that I do different things every day. I know the differences between my day. Or I, like, realize it, you know, and I can feel that it's different. I don't know. Number 40. When was the last time you marched into the dark with only a soft glow of an idea you strongly believed in? I would say last year. I really developed my my views on equality, gender equality, and yeah, especially gender equality last year. I learned a lot from a previous relationship about I learned a lot from a previous relationship about the struggles at achieving gender equality. I hadn't really considered it before because I was like 19, and he really taught me a lot about that, and it was one of the most eye-opening experiences, I guess, in my life, because it's not only women who have problems, it's men. It's not a gender problem, it's a world problem. It's something that affects every person, and even if we don't realize it, things need to change. So women are not the only ones who are allowed to stay home with their children, or who are not looked down upon. Women are not the only ones who men are not the only ones who can support their families. It is still a stigma that men can't be stay-at-home dads. And despite the fact that the success of women is entirely dependent on their own efforts, their own intelligence, some people still think that women owe men something for the success that they've found. Male bosses trying to grope them, or trying to get them to have sex with them for a raise, or female bosses trying to have sex with their male coworkers, or their male employees trying to coerce them into getting a raise too. It's sickening how we use sex as a tool to control, and not just for pleasure. So, I mean, I have a lot of opinions and shit. You guys probably don't want to hear about them all, so. where my thing go here? Forty-one. If you knew that everyone you know was going to die tomorrow, who would you visit today? Well, if I knew that, I would probably try to get everyone together at once. But at the same time, I would probably just focus on my grandparents, my mom, and some of my friends, or some of my old friends. So, 42. Would you be willing to reduce your life expectancy by 10 years to become extremely attractive or famous? No. Because I don't put value in either of those, really. I would prefer to have the life that I want, for longer with the looks and the amount of famousness that I have. I guess I just find no value in either of those. 43. What is the difference between being alive and truly living? If you are alive, your heart is beating, your cells are living inside your body, and you can maintain that. But truly living takes work. It takes effort to maintain a level of happiness, to maintain a well-being, not just through health, but everything else in life. And for me, truly living would be finding ways to make a difference. Being alive is easy. You eat and you sleep and you drink water and you can stay stagnant at that point, but truly living is putting the effort into loving and learning everything you want to learn, doing the things you want to do, having goals and ambitions and striving to achieve them. That's what living is. When is it time to stop calculating risk and rewards and just go ahead and do what you know is right? You know, I'm not sure. It would really depend on a lot of different things, I suppose. Is it affecting another life? Is it a matter of life and death? Unless there is a time restraint, I think if you calculate the risks and rewards far enough, you'll realize that sometimes, if it comes down to life and death, if there's danger, if you have time, there is another way to fix things, to do what is right, to save whatever might be lost. Number 45. If we learn from our mistakes, why are we always so afraid to make a mistake? I could say something about how making mistakes creates anxiety, which in turn creates a flight or fight effect, and blah blah blah. At least for me. mistakes make me very anxious. I have had panic attacks over small mistakes that I made when I was younger, and it was difficult for me to control the reaction I had. But that's what makes me afraid of making mistakes, at least, I think. I don't want to lose that control over myself, so, but I think people are afraid of making mistakes because, probably because embarrassment. We value the opinions of others probably a little bit too much, so, I think that's part of the problem, at least. Number 46, what would you do differently if you knew nobody would judge you? I would probably be a lot more open than I am. I mean, a lot of my reluctance to open up is because I'm afraid of being judged. I'm worried about the opinions of others because it's a completely human thing. We strive to be accepted by others. It's something that is inherent in us. Well, most of us. And it has its place, but at the same time, it needs to be controlled. It needs to be I don't know where I was going with that train of thought, but if I could be more open because nobody would judge me, I would feel a lot better. That's me, I guess. Number 47, when was the last time you noticed the sound of your own breathing? I usually do when I do recordings. It makes me really self-conscious when I go like, or in my sexy recordings. I tend to edit out some because they're really annoying, and I hope nobody else, I hope it doesn't bother anyone else, but you never know, I guess. There I did it again. You know, I kind of suck in the breath through my teeth. It's annoying. 48. What do you love? Have any of your recent actions openly expressed this love? My family. I help them out, or I try to. I think my actions have. I don't know. What else do I love? I love the internet. I mentioned that I've been on a spoken word binge, and that's very true. I love spoken word, slam poetry, anything like that. I envy those who are able to write like that, who can articulate their words to the point of saying something in a completely different way. It's just incredible to me. It's one of my favorite art forms. 49. In 5 years from now, will you remember what you did yesterday? No. What about the day before that? No. Or the day before that? No. I know that I did different things, but I won't remember, you know, what I did. Tomorrow I'll probably remember, though. I have a pretty interesting day tomorrow. 50. Decisions are being made right now. The question is, are you making them for yourself, or are you letting others make them for you? I make all the decisions for myself. In the end, all the decisions I make come down to me, because I'm stubborn, and even though I do ask for opinions, I will always decide for myself what is best for me, even if it comes down to it that it's not the best. In the end, I'll probably make some decision. So, yeah. If you listen to all this, I'm sorry about the yawns, the sniffles, the slight teariness, you know, hormones and stuff. I hope it wasn't completely horrible to listen to, and hopefully you know me a little bit better now. So, bye.